Answers to difficult questions are going to come tonight. Amen? Businesses are going to be birthed tonight. Ministries birthed. Hallelujah. Because words have power. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And I want y'all to imagine a week of heaven. And the title tonight is Imagine Heaven. And so as Pastor was praying, Pastor, I'm praying for a week of heaven on earth for our pastor. And I'm praying for a week of heaven on earth for you and your life. Amen. I'm praying for the anointing on your life to manifest and increase. And there's a song that's called I Can Only Imagine. And I was with a guy one time, it's been a number of years ago. And we were eating a pizza together. As we're sitting there sharing a pizza, he was telling me about how he wrote this song called I Can Only Imagine. His name is Bart Millard. And he said that he wrote it just by the Spirit. It came up out of his spirit in the last minute. He had to have one more song for a CD that he had recorded. And they said, you don't have enough songs. You need one more song. So he ran in and wrote it down as fast as he could. And he said it just came like that. He wrote this song, I Can Only Imagine. And at the time, it was one of the top songs on the secular charts and secular radio here in Dallas-Fort Worth. And that song is today one of the most sold songs in the world, in the United States. I Can Only Imagine. I think 2.5 million copies. They recently came out with a movie about that. I haven't seen it yet, but I would like to see it. Anybody seen it? Is it good? Awesome. Well, I have to see that. Boy, I'm behind. Well, let me tell you a little bit about what I've been doing lately. We took the family on vacation. We went to Washington, D.C. I'll tell you, it was wonderful to get to walk around and pray for our nation in those locations where great things happened, great men of God did things, and to see the things and the memorials that have been left behind, many that have scripture. Anybody that says that we are not a godly nation needs to go to Washington, D.C. and just walk around a little bit, and you'll see. And even those that say, well, but our founding fathers didn't intend for Christianity to be in our nation, I say, no, I was in the church that George Washington helped build just a couple weeks ago, and I sat in his pew where he sat regularly and where Franklin Roosevelt and Winston Churchill sat after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, and where they declared it a national day of prayer. And I'm telling you, our nation is one nation under God. And I'm believing for a great awakening in our nation again. And I've been praying, God, what would it take for an entire nation to all show up to church on Sunday? What would that take for a nation to flood the churches? And I pray it's nothing bad or evil, but I pray that it's something good, that something good is going to happen. Amen? I'm believing and I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. See, sometimes it may take a mighty famine for there to be a mighty move of God. As Pastor was reading scripture this morning, if you weren't here, I encourage you to go back, listen to his message this morning. I noticed something about the prodigal son story I had never noticed before. You know how that is, Pastor, how many times you'll read something and it'll just, whoa, I never really noticed that. But it says that there was a mighty famine in the land as he was out. He was rich in goods and all these things and was partying and everything was great. And that's kind of where the world is today. There are many people that life is great, life is good, why do we need God? But then the Bible says about the prodigal son, there was a great famine in the land.
Yes.
And then he lost all that he had. And I'm telling you, there are times, and in the world's case, I don't believe it has to be in our case, if we hang out with the Father, we are blessed. Everything he has is ours. Amen? And we can have a party anytime when you're with the Father. When you're in the presence of God, and this is why I want you to imagine heaven, because you can imagine heaven on earth. When you're in the presence of God, you get what God has just by association. You can't help but be anointed when you hang out with God. Amen? The anointing is on your life. The attributes, the characteristics. I can tell where you're from by how you talk. I can tell who you hang out with by how you talk. There are times I have come home in the past, and I come home, I give my wife a hug, and she can tell me who I've been with that day by how I smell. She knows people's smells. Wow. Yeah. If you wear cologne and I'm around you and I come home, she says, "You were with Pastor Bob, weren't you? Or you were with Charlie Pryor." I said, "That's right, I was. How did you know?" Because I can smell, I smell them on you. And there is a smell about the presence of God, and there is a flavor. I have a message called the flavor of favor that is on your life, that it's that flavor that God loves. Amen? And, you know, when Jesus came, there were always, it's interesting, there were always anointing oils and spices involved. If you think about it, they were involved at Jesus' birth. They were involved at Jesus' death. Right. The Lord's just telling me this just now. They were involved at His death and involved at His birth because there is a smell of heaven. And there is an anointing of heaven. And when you have heaven in your life, you don't have to only imagine.
Hallelujah.
I don't want to take away from that song because it's a beautiful song, but let me just say, you don't have to only imagine. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
You can experience heaven.
Experience it. Yes.
And I believe that when you get to heaven and stand before God, it should not be your first time to meet Him. And I believe that when you stand before Jesus, that He should not say, "I never knew you." Amen?
Amen.
And so we went to Washington, D.C. and walked around our family, got to see some neat things, have a lot of fun. But also we prayed for our nation. It was cool at the World War II Memorial. Every state is represented there on these stations. And it was neat to walk around and pray for every state. Pray for every state in our union, in our nation. Because there are some states that are doing great and some not so great. Amen. And we need to cover those states in prayer as part of our nation. United we stand.
Yes, sir.
And so I encourage people to pray for our states. Pray for whatever state you're from. If you're not from Texas, pray for your state. Pray that God would bring revival there. If you know of a state where the devil's messing, pray that God will get to blessing, and we'll just pray victory in that state. Amen? And I believe we can pray into our future. And so I believe tonight we're going to have some anointing. We're going to have the oil of joy. We're going to have the sweet fragrance of the Spirit that is manifest in this place, and it's a smell of heaven. There's a sound of heaven. There's the songs of heaven. That's what they do in heaven a lot, as they sing. They sing the songs of the redeemed. Amen? It's awesome. It's a wonderful place. And I believe the world likes to imagine heaven. Why else would that song be so popular, even in the secular realm? Because even in the world, they want to imagine heaven. And they believe they're going there. And so we need to preach the gospel and let them know what the Bible says. So many people want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And then after Washington, D.C., we came back and then we went to Discovery Camp, which was another D.C. just this past week. So we went to two D.C.s in 2 weeks. Discovery Camp. And as we were there, somebody mentioned the fact that obedience has the word die right in the middle of it. I said, oh, that's so true. To obey God and to walk in heaven on earth, you have to die to this world. You have to die to your flesh. You have to tell yourself no. And you have to say yes to God. And that's the theme this year, is saying yes to God. And it was a great time. The youth had a wonderful time. Robbie and I and my wife and others, Liz, leaders, DJs, other leaders went with us. Nick, we had a great time. Kids got touched and changed. Hundreds of kids got saved in those meetings. Imagine this entire sanctuary filled with screaming young people. That's why my voice is a little rough tonight, because trying to talk to our kids over all those other kids was hard. I have great respect for people like Jonathan Edwards that were able to speak without sound systems. So for 3 days straight, yelling pretty much, trying to talk to folks. And then people started coming out of the woodwork, other youth ministers. It was amazing. While we were there at camp this year, other ministers came and were seeking counsel and advice from my wife and I. People that are now in ministry that used to be youth, they used to be single, and now they're married, and now they're youth pastors at a church. And it's neat to see some people growing up. We met a lot of connections and people that we're connected to. We all decided to come to camp on the same week. Out of 16 weeks, we all came on the same week, which was really cool. Friends of mine from Portland, Texas. Friends of ours from Louisville, Texas. Actually, Crandall, Texas. People from, where were the others from? Here in Fort Worth, Texas. Then there were some from Midland, Texas. Brother Sutton, Pastor Jeremy Sutton, brought his group. That's Pastor Keith Johnson's nephew. He was there, and he prophesied, just spoke over our lives, said, hey, you know, God's doing great things in you. Somebody else prophesied over us, and it was just an awesome time. Robbie took up the torch. It rained one day. It rained one day, so they had to cancel volleyball, but praise God, that don't quit before you're finished spirit is on us. And Robbie said, we can still do it. And 17 other churches got together and had our own volleyball tournament. He put together a bracket, and it was awesome. And we beat all 16 churches. Praise God. And then Robbie and Zach Hall won the ping pong championship. I believe there's an anointing to win. Amen? There's an anointing to win. And they still loved us, even though we beat them. But you can have heaven on earth. And this week, we died to our flesh. And let me tell you something about camp. It's not a vacation. It's not a pleasure cruise. It's a challenge in many ways, and you die to your flesh. It's hard on the flesh. It's like boot camp. But when you come out, praise God, your spirit is strong. And when you starve your flesh, you feed your spirit, good things are going to happen. Amen? And I believe something good is going to happen for you. And sometimes you just need to say, okay, I'm going to stop taking it easy on my flesh. I'm going to get out of the lazy boy. And I'm going to get to work for the kingdom of God, regardless of what it does to me. Or how hard it is. Or how scared I might be. I'm going to go for it. Be a leader. That's what leaders do. And I believe that we are a church. There is an anointing for leadership on this church. Amen? It comes from God, through our pastor, Bob Nichols, and it comes down to every one of us. Every one of us should be a leader in some area in our world. And we lead people into heaven on earth. And obviously, I'm not talking about the literal throne room of God and Jesus in physical body, but I'm talking about the atmosphere and the anointing of heaven being manifest here on earth. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, whenever Jesus went up and he was transfigured before his disciples? I don't believe that was the only time that happened, but I believe that was the time that he let them see. Because Jesus appeared as he really is, supernaturally, God Almighty, and it boggled the disciples' mind. But remember how he was always going off by himself? I believe he was being transfigured all those times. I believe he was going and he was in the presence of God. And I've been to the wilderness. I didn't get transfigured, but I got transformed. Amen? And then he came back in the power of God. And so you can get in the place of God where I believe that you can live in the presence of God. And sometimes you might need to just get away and watch and pray. And spend some time being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, I don't believe that whenever Jesus told Peter to walk out on the water, that was the first time that Jesus had done that. You know, Jesus walked on the water often. In fact, he used to just go for strolls at night on the lake. Not by the lake, but on it. Because when you're in the Spirit, you can lose so much track. I've heard stories of people, and many of you probably have too, who were so caught up in the Spirit as they begin to preach, they would walk off the platform, floating in midair, and turn around and walk right back. And people saw it. I heard a story of somebody in a meeting one time where their balcony was full and somebody fell off the balcony. In those days, they didn't have the regulations like they have now. With the high handrail, somebody fell off the balcony and someone saw them dance, float down onto the ground and keep dancing. My dad told me a story about somebody in an R.W. Shambach meeting that he saw himself. See, my dad was Baptist and he heard about the Holy Ghost and he started getting the teaching about the Holy Ghost on the radio through R.W. Shambach. And then he started to go to his meetings because he wanted to check this out for himself. And he said he was in a meeting where as R.W. Shambach was praising God, as people were dancing, this one lady, he said, with her eyes closed on one toe, was spinning like a top and spun in and out of people in perfect synchronization with what everyone was doing with her eyes closed. And he said there was no way that could happen. It was a sign and a wonder. And he said that was when he became a Baptist-costal. And he said there was a time whenever R.W. Shambach came in and he just moved his arm like this and the whole crowd in these big tent meetings, he said they would all just move back like a wave. And he said he saw that wave coming and he said, what in the world? Here comes a wave of something. He said, when it gets here, I'm not going to move. But when it got to him, he said he moved. He couldn't help it. He experienced the power of God. He experienced the presence of God. He experienced the atmosphere of God. And it's real. And it can manifest and affect your physical world. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. See, there are different wills. There are people's wills involved. Thank God he's not a dictator. There he says, listen, I'm going to force you to worship me. Now, at some point, every knee is going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. But right now, he's given people an opportunity to say, who do you choose? And Jesus said, when he prayed, he said, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what makes heaven heaven? What makes heaven heaven is the fact that God's will is the only will that is done there. God's will is done in heaven, and our will is perfectly aligned with his will. Because we are one with him. And I believe that that can happen on earth as it is in heaven. God's will being done. And the more mankind will sacrifice our will for his will, the more heavenly earth will be. Amen. So you've got different wills involved in your life. Pastor Bob lately has been experiencing a lot of other people's wills and a lot of the devil's will. Unfortunately, we all have. We've experienced other people's will and the devil's will. When that happens, you don't have heaven on earth. When we have our will, we don't have heaven on earth. But Jesus said, not my will, but your will. And he asked us to pray, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so God wants you to pray His will be done in your life.
Hallelujah.
Amen? And that's what we're doing. Adam and Eve lost paradise when they chose God's will, when they chose their will over God's will. And I believe that we can have that on earth and make earth as much like heaven as possible. Amen? I believe, like somebody said, smoking won't make you go to hell, but I'm telling you what, it will give you hell on earth. It'll make your life like hell. And people say, well, there's nothing wrong with drinking. I can drink all I want to or whatever, you know. But I'm telling you, you're not going to have heaven on earth when you get drunk and run over somebody and kill them and go to prison. That's not heaven on earth. It's not heaven on earth when you've got an addiction and you're in bondage to sin. That's not heaven on earth. That's not God's will for your life. It's simple. It's real easy if you think about it. Is it God's will? If it's heaven on earth, then it's God's will for you. His will is prosperity. His will is blessing. Now, there may come a snake bite every once in a while. There may come a shipwreck like there did in Paul. Remember when Paul said, don't go, don't go, but it was the captain's will that won out over God's will? That happens sometimes. That's where we live, but temporarily. It was temporary. Praise God. Sometimes people's will may come to pass in your life, but it's only temporary. Joseph was thrown in a pit. That wasn't God's will. It was his brother's will. But it was temporary.
Hallelujah.
He was thrown in prison. That wasn't God's will, but it was Potiphar's will. His wife's will that took over temporarily. But let me tell you something. You pray, God, your will be done in my life. And God's will always trump man's will. Amen? It will, right, if you pray for it, ask for it, seek it, desire God's will. Now, whenever you're from a place, you should have a heart for that place and a desire for that place. You want heaven on earth. I am from Texas. I was born here in Texas. Amen. I'm sorry if you weren't born here.
Get here as soon as you can.
You got here as soon as you could. Amen. And I tell you, Texas is in my heart. I came from Texas. I'm born here, raised here. And when I was about 13 years old, we moved to Nebraska.
Home is where the heart is.
That's right. Home is where the heart is. That's what my son said. My heart was in Texas. I remember that feeling of crossing the Red River and knowing I'm going to live in another state for a while. And I knew as we were leaving, I said, God, I don't want to leave Texas, but for some reason I have to go to Nebraska for a while. Yeah, for a while. So what I did was, because I love Texas so much, I got a little bottle. As 13 years old, I went outside and I got some Texas dirt. And I said, I'm going to take some Texas with me. And I put that dirt, in fact, I have it right here. I took that Texas soil with me because Texas is in my heart. It's where I'm from. I want to take a little piece of Texas with me. And so when I got there, I was a Dallas Cowboys fan. Everybody there were Huskers fans. And in Nebraska, you love two things, corn and corn Huskers. That's right, red and white. It was no longer blue and gray or silver. It was red and white everything. And so I began to think about the things of home, the things of Texas. And I talked different. People laughed when I first went to school and I said something, and I said y'all something, and the whole eighth grade class started cracking up. Oh, he said y'all. I said, what? What do y'all say? I didn't know that I was different. I didn't know I had an accent. And I realized just as as radical and as on fire I was for Texas and the Dallas Cowboys, they were for Nebraska and the Cornhuskers. One guy even was such a fan that he got the words Cornhuskers inlaid in his teeth. Now that's dedication. That's a fan right there.
Crazy,
crazy fan. But listen, when you're from heaven, and heaven is your home, you hunger for the things of heaven. You want a piece of heaven with you. Amen?
Yeah.
You'll get heaven on the inside of you. You'll think like heaven. You'll talk like heaven. People will know there's something different about you. I know you're not from here, are you? You're not of this world. Amen? This church is not of this world. Amen? People know the difference. I have a heart for heaven. I long for heaven. I desire heaven. I take a piece of heaven with me all the time, everywhere I go. Because these words are from heaven. They're God-inspired. And these words are eternal. They're life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. I believe and I'm praising God for heaven on earth. I want to bring a little bit of heaven to this earth. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. I remember one time when we were there in Nebraska, my dad called the operator in Texas just to hear her voice. Just to hear her accent. And when we came back to Texas, praise God, we were there for a few years. God moved. God worked in our behalf. God did some great things in Nebraska. Had some great friends there. Praise God. And I loved Nebraska. I love any state where God is welcome and God is moving. There's some great churches up there in Nebraska. But as we came back to Texas, I'll never forget walking into Walmart and hearing that lady say, "Hard lines, line four. Hard lines, line four." And just going, "I'm home." Line four. Thank you, God. I'm home. You know that song, "I Can Only Imagine," reminds people that this world is not our home. And I don't meditate on things of this world. I meditate on things that are above. Set your mind on things above. Remember home. Think about your home. Remember, you're not a citizen of this world. We're aliens. Amen? We're new creatures. Old things are passed away. We don't live like everybody else. We're not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world or the will of man, where the will of man is done. Don't be conformed to the will of man, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We want the perfect will of God done in our lives, and you can have it. Amen? And God's will is that you be anointed and that you receive it. Hebrews 4:2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." The word only works. Heaven on earth only comes if you'll mix faith with what you're hearing. And how do you mix faith? We hear that all the time. Mix faith with the word that you're hearing. You respond to it. You act on the word of God, and that is the faith that is required. You say, "How do I respond?" How is God telling you to respond? How are you feeling led to respond to the word I'm preaching tonight? Ask yourself that. God, how do I need to respond to this word? What do I need to do? You might need to put some scriptures up in your house. You might need to bring some heaven in your home. You might need to get out the things of this world and put up some things of heaven. Amen? You might need to stop speaking the things of earth and start speaking the things of heaven. That's good. Whoa, praise God. There's a podium there. Hallelujah. How is it that some people hear a word, it changes their life forever, and other people hear a word and it does nothing? It's not the word. Some people say, well, the Word doesn't work. No, the Word works great. The Word works fine. You're the only thing that's not working. And if you're not mixing faith with the Word, then you're mixing doubt, unbelief, and fear. That's what you're mixing. And people are bound by fear in the body of Christ. They, well, I can't go soul winning because I'm afraid. Well, you know, maybe you need to respond to heaven on earth by saying, I want to bring some heaven on earth to my neighborhood. I want to bring some heaven on earth to some folks in my city. I want to bring some heaven on earth to them. And I'm not talking about willpower, but I'm talking about the power of God's will. It's not, well, I will do this. It's my will. I'm going to exert my will. It's saying, God, I pray your perfect will be done in my life, and then just go and do it. A lot of times people have a problem understanding or believing God's will. And I hear people say this a lot. They say, well, if God wants me blessed, I'll be blessed. What do you mean, if? That's the trademark of Satan right there. He's the one that always says, if. And I'm telling you, you're speaking the will of Satan when you say, well, if God wants me blessed, I'll be blessed. Well, if God wants me to be healed, then I'll be healed. He wants you healed. The question is, whose will are you speaking? You're speaking the devil's when you say, if. The devil says, if you're the Son of God, do this. If you're this, well, if you're healed, then this would happen. Well, if you're prosperous, then no. Say, this is God's will. God wants me blessed. God wants me healed. Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes I'm healed. 3 John 1:2, beloved, I wish above all things you'd prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. If God wants me saved, I'll be saved. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's your choice. That's your will getting in line with God's will, and then you have heaven on earth. It's awesome. If God wants me rich, then he'll make me rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And how you respond to God's word determines the outcome of God's word. Okay? Now, a lot of times people think, well, I heard the word, so it's going to happen in my life. I heard that prophecy, somebody spoke over me, so it's going to happen in my life. Not necessarily. Just like Pastor said, grace, the tree of grace is available. Now get to shaking. Come on, shake that tree by faith and say, okay, I believe it's there. I'm going to start receiving. I'm going to grab hold of it. I'm going to put action behind it. I'm going to respond to the word that I've heard, and I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving my own self. And a lot of times people are deceived because they've heard so much word and so much word that they think, well, I've got it. Man, I've got it. Well, you've got it, but you're not doing anything with it. Hallelujah. Hand me a phone, babe. Bring me a phone if you don't mind. I think my phone's in my Bible case, but that yours will work. Thank you. Thank you. All right. The Lord showed me this at camp. I was talking to this little kid, and I was preaching to him about the Holy Ghost. And he came forward to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he wanted to pray in the Holy Ghost. And I was explaining to him, all right, now when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you speak. God doesn't just, the Holy Ghost doesn't just come on you like a seizure and just start, la, 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 you know, and you can't control it. But you speak by, you line your will up with God's will and you speak the word of God. And he just sat there. And I said, okay, now just speak that out. And he wouldn't open his mouth. And I said, okay, I tell you what, let's do. Let's pray in our understanding. I said, so I want you to pray and ask God for the Holy Ghost. Ask God, say, God, give me the Holy Ghost. And the kid just stood there. And I said, when you pray, do you pray out loud? No. I said, so when you pray, how do you pray? He said, like this. And I realized, well, there's a problem right there. Kid, I said, how did you get saved if you didn't say words? Because the Bible says you got to believe in your heart and you got to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And as you speak those words out of you, you're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And I said, look at this. This is how crazy that would be. You know how phones these days, you can talk to them and tell them what you want. And I said, I'm gonna ask my phone where the nearest pizza place is. And I'm going to find out where the nearest pizza place is. So I just go like this. This thing doesn't work. No. It works. But you have to talk to it. Where is the nearest pizza place? Where is the nearest pizza place? Oh, and it shows me New York style pizza. Hey, it worked. Amen. Now, I can tell it to do things, and it will do it as I tell it. Yeah. It doesn't do it first, and then I say, oh, there's the nearest pizza place. And when God said, let there be light, there was light. But he said it first, and then it happened. And we, as people, we see it first and then say, oh, there's light. Don't we? But God speaks those things which be not as though they were. And so when you've got the anointing of God on the inside of you and you're believing God for something, you speak it first and then it happens because the anointing is voice activated. But it's not going to work for you if you don't pray out loud. I remember as a kid, I used to not pray over our food out loud, me and my brother. We wouldn't pray out loud. We would just sit there and we would have a moment of silence over our Frosted Flakes. And you know, the world loves that. They don't care about the moment of silence. They'll do that all day. Football games, we're going to have a moment of silence. Yeah. Nobody say anything, nothing will happen.
That's great.
In school, okay, students, this is the principal. Today we're going to have a moment of silence. Don't anybody say anything. We don't mind you praying, just don't say anything out loud.
Whoa. Come on.
See, it doesn't scare the devil to have a moment of silence. What scares the devil is when you start speaking words that are in line with God's word. Because when you do that, things are created. Things are birthed, and it's like you pull out a sword. Because, see, the devil doesn't want to ban only your guns. But the devil wants to ban your sword of the Spirit. That's what he's after. He's after your sword of the Spirit. Because he says if they know they have a sword, they can defend themselves. If they know they have a right to bear arms, then they can stop me. But if they'll keep their mouth shut, there's nothing they can do to stop me from overtaking them and taking, stealing, killing, and destroying them.
So true.
And so the anointing comes for a reason. And when the anointing comes on you, and then you speak the word of God. How many times in the Bible does it say they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spake the word of God? They were filled and they spake. They were filled and they spake. When the angel came to Mary and said, you're going to have a baby, it's going to be Christ the Lord, she said, be it unto me, and she had the baby. Whenever the angel came and appeared to Zacharias, he said, what? And he said, you're not going to be able to speak. You're going to have no words for a while. Why? Because he would have spoken contrary to God's will, and his will would have taken over, and there would not have been the will of God done in that situation. Some of you may not need to speak for a while until you can get your mouth lined up with God's word. Amen? Some of you may need to just not say anything right now. There are times When that comes in handy, just say, I'm not going to say anything right now because I know anything I say would not be in line with God's will or God's word. And wait until you can, and then when you do, then speak the word of God, and then it's going to take place, it's going to happen. And you're going to bring life. You're going to bring heaven to earth. Amen? As you say, not my will, but your will be done. It's voice activated. So tonight we're going to speak some things into existence. Hallelujah. Ben, go ahead and come on up. We're just going to spend a few minutes here in prayer and in praise and in listening to the Lord. And it's so important when you hear the voice of God that you repeat that many times out loud. When Jesus got up to read the word, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." He said what God said about him. And it wasn't enough just that it was in the scrolls, but he got up to read it and to speak it out loud. And for everyone to hear, to say, I am anointed by God. You speak those words out and they'll start creating things. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. The anointing is on you. The power of God is manifest in you and through you. And even if you don't sense that, even if you don't feel that, I experienced this one time when I was in a service one time and a little kid spoke to me and said, "You're drunk in the Holy Ghost." And I was instantly drunk in the Holy Ghost. I said, "Whoa, I wasn't drunk in the Holy Ghost before." And I even thought to myself, "I'm not drunk in the..." And I got filled with the Holy Ghost. That kid spoke by the power of God. And I've had times when people speak things to me. And then I repeat those things and I say those things and I preach those things. Because as you say them, you're framing your world. Let's all stand up. I believe that there are people here now that you need miracles and you're looking for a word from God. And let me tell you something, the word is nigh you, even in your mouth. Yes. I could come around here and give every one of you a word from the Lord individually. And I'm telling you, it would not be near as powerful if every one of you spoke a word individually that God had for your life. It's good if I speak it and maybe confirm a word to you, but when you start saying it about yourself, praise God. Not in a bold, arrogant way where you're just like prideful and, "Well, I'm anointed. Don't you know that, Paul Cruz?" Make way for the anointing. Here I come. Not talking like that. But I'm talking about the Spirit of God is on me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. He's anointed me to lay hands on the sick. Paul goes into nursing homes and he knows he is anointed to be there. And I'm telling you, I am anointed tonight to lay hands on you because Pastor Bob Nichols asked for me to lay hands on people tonight. And so I received that anointing in obedience to say, I'm going to lay hands on people tonight. And I believe that there's an anointing that's coming on you to receive this word. And so I would say this too, especially for anyone who feels like they're called to ministry. If you believe in your heart, I believe I am called to preach the gospel. You need the anointing to do that because nothing takes the place of the anointing. You might say, "Well, I don't have the suits to be a preacher." You don't need suits. You say, "Well, you know, I don't know if I'm called." What does the word say? Speak the word of God. That we're all called to be ministers of reconciliation. We're all called to win souls. We're all called to speak the word of God. Are you a citizen of heaven or are you a citizen of hell? Come on. If you're a citizen of heaven, then you're going to start speaking like heaven. You're going to start acting like heaven. And you're going to know your identity and who you are. Your spiritual birth certificate says you're a citizen of heaven. And you know that you know. And let me tell you, even if you don't know, you speak it out in Jesus' name. If your mind is doubting what your heart's telling you, shut your mind off and start speaking it from your heart and saying, this is the way it is. I have what God says I have. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. All things are possible through Christ. All things are possible with God. Through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things. My son was doing something he shouldn't one day, and I said, son, don't do that. He said, but Dad, the Bible says I can do all things. I said, through Christ. And that's not through Christ. You got to know the whole word, amen? That's why you got to know what is yours. But I'm going to make a call right now for anybody who's here tonight. Hallelujah. Have we given an altar call? Okay, before I do this, I want to give an altar call. I believe it's important. There may be somebody here tonight and you say, you know what, I'm not a citizen of heaven. I don't know for sure if I died tonight that I would go to heaven. There are so many people I meet out on the streets, a large majority of people. I ask, if you died this very second, do you know you'd go to heaven? And they say, no. We were at the library the other day. My son, 10 years old, asked the guy who was checking out our books and stuff, asked him, hey, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? No. He said, has anybody ever told you God loves you and has a good plan for your life? He said, not in a while, right? Something like that. Not in a long time, or it's been a while. Samuel went through the gospel soul winning script, led him to the Lord. The lady behind the counter started clapping her hands, and the guy was like, wow. And I was like, wow, that was awesome. Just speak it out. Come on, if you can just speak it out. Just speak those words of life. If you're here tonight and you say, I don't know for sure, you can know for sure. You can have assurance of your salvation. If you're here and you say, you know, I've never asked Jesus to be in my heart. I've never asked Him to come into my life. I've never heard God's voice. I don't know if I stood before Jesus, He might say, I never knew you because I don't know Him. Again, it shouldn't be the first time when you stand before Jesus, the first time you meet Him. But you can meet Jesus tonight. And I know many times the devil's lying to people and telling them, you're not saved, you're not born again. How do you know? You know what you did. You did something wrong or whatever. Yeah, you did what you wanted to do and now look what it got you. You're not a child of God. That's what the devil says. That's not what the Word says. The Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. The Bible says anybody that comes to Jesus, there's no way He'll cast them out. If you come to Him and call on the Lord, but you've got to call on Him. It can't be one of these deals. Well, if God wants me saved, I'll be saved. It's not one of these deals where, well, there's nobody can know who's going to heaven. It's something only God knows. He told us in His Word. If you call on the Lord, you'll be saved. He saves and He will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Every unrighteousness. So I want everyone to bow your head, close your eyes tonight. If you're here tonight and you say, you know what? I want heaven on earth in my life. I've been living my own way or the devil's way or other people's way. And I've been living hell on earth. And I want heaven on earth. I want to give Jesus my life. I want to ask Him to come into my heart. I want to make sure of my salvation. I want you right now, just lift your hand and say, pray for me. And I believe God will do that in your life. Just lift your hand and say, pray for me if that's you. All over this room. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. You know what? It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or what anybody else is doing. You need to be a citizen of heaven. You got to. You need Him. And let me tell you, He loves you so much. Don't doubt that. He died on the cross for you. Anybody else, raise your hand, wave it at me real quick. Want to move quick here. All right, I tell you what, let's do. Also, if you're online, if you're watching this in a later date or right now live, I just pray that this same prayer is going to work for you. But what I want is I want you now to respond. Those of you that lifted your hand, I want you now to respond by faith. I want you to come meet me right here at the front. Come down here and I'm going to pray with you, okay? Come right here. Don't come right here. I'm going to pray with you. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand of encouragement. Come here. Let me tell you something. You're going to have heaven on earth, and you're going to have heaven on earth. Because God responds, as you respond to Him, as you take one step toward God, God rushes into your life. He said, open the door. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, if you just open it a crack and say, yes, Jesus, I want you, He'll bust in and say, I'm here with heaven on earth to bless you. And that's what He wants for you. You can know for sure, based on God's word, He's not a man. Man will sometimes lie to you. Man will say they'll do something and then not do it. Not God, ever. So you have to say, God, your will be done in my life from this night forward. And you're making a commitment tonight. Now tonight, as you come forward, it's like getting married, okay? See this ring on my finger? It's because I said I do 13 years ago, and I still do. And I will. All right, amen. I believe God's working that. God's going to help you. Lift your hands and just pray this prayer, okay? We're going to pray this together. In fact, let's all pray this together. If you're watching online, I want you to say this prayer as a response. Remember, you got to speak words. So say this out loud with your heart and your lips. Say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. You said that you're at my heart's door and you're knocking. God, I open my heart right now. Jesus, fill me fresh and new. Forgive me of all my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. Set me free. Jesus, thank you that you died for me. I do believe your word that you love me and gave yourself for me. That you are risen from the dead and you're coming back for me. I am saved. I am born again. I am a citizen of heaven. God, give me a hunger for the things of heaven, for the things of God. Give me a hunger for your word and a hunger for your spirit. I want to hang out with you every day from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Now just close your eyes, lift your hands. Let that anointing just come upon you right now. Hallelujah. Big John, would you mind coming on up? Now listen, the Holy Spirit's touching you right now by the Spirit of God. And that anointing is kind of like, sometimes it's like a sunburn. It's going to last. Amen? You're going to keep feeling the effects of tonight. But keep getting back in it. Keep getting in the presence of God, and it'll change you and transform you. We want to take just another minute in the anointing and the power of God. And if you'll turn and go with this lovely couple right here, Charlie and Lori Pryor, they want to pray with you. If you'll just go with them, you can come through this way. Go with them and there, spend just a moment. Now the rest that are here, I want to also do this. If you're here and you feel the anointing of God on your life and you know something has changed, something has happened in me tonight and I'm responding to God's word, or maybe you're here tonight and you believe that you are called to the ministry in some way, whatever it may be. There are many facets to ministry, but you got to have the anointing to do all of them. You can't do what God said to do without His power to do it. You need the anointing in your life. I want you to come forward and stand all across the front. We're going to lay hands on you. And I believe out of obedience, as we lay hands on you, that the anointing of God is coming on your life in a greater way, in a stronger way, to do what God's told you to do. If you sing, I believe you're going to sing better. If you preach, I believe you're going to preach better. If you own a business, I believe you're going to own that business better. Amen? Because the anointing is the power of God to do what you need to do. And so Big John Hall is going to sing a song about the anointing that does destroy the yoke of bondage. It sets the captives free.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the anointing brings rivers to the desert. And so as that anointing falls on you tonight, I want you not to see the desert, but I want you to see the river. The river of God that's coming to your desert. And everywhere the river flows, there's life. Everywhere that river flows, things are going to grow. Things are going to pop up. Remember the valley of dry bones, Ezekiel chapter 37? He said, prophesy to these bones, and nothing happened until he prophesied. Nothing happened. God wanted it to happen. God's will was for it to happen, but nothing happened until he said, you speak it. And so as Big John sings this song, I want you to sing this song by faith with him. The anointing is raining on me. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead, Big John. I'm going to start down here. Babe, would you come with me?
The anointing of the Lord breaks the yoke of bondage. The anointing of the Lord sets the captives free. The anointing of the Lord brings rivers to your desert. That anointing is raining on me. That anointing is raining on me. Not by eloquence or talent that God's work is done. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Receive his word for you this very hour. The anointing of the Lord breaks the yoke of bondage. The anointing of the Lord sets the captives free. The anointing of the Lord brings rivers to your desert. That anointing is raining on me. That anointing is raining on me. The anointing of the Lord breaks the yoke of bondage. The anointing of the Lord sets the captives free. The anointing of the Lord brings rivers to your desert. That anointing is raining on me. That anointing is raining on me. That anointing is raining on me. anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing. Fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh,